Leafs Converts, TLC OGs, what is going on? I'm NJ. We're going to convo the hell out of this episode of the Leafs Convo podcast, of course. It's all about making the Maple Leafs better. Who do you trade from this roster right now to bring back a player of equal or better value to help this team level up and become a true 100% authentic Stanley Cup contender this season? Mike has plenty to say on the topic/issue. So do I. And I know you do with the sizzling white hot takes you provided through the YouTube comment section and, of course, Twitter. I'm ready to go. Mike's ready to go. And, of course, we're going to talk about Paul Marner because he's been talking. So we're going to talk about him in a polite, constructive way, or at least I will. Anyway, the Leafs convo starts right now.
And here he is, the one and only Michael Augello. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, Norman. I'm well. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I have a big question for you. Ready for it?
Sure.
So which Leafs are we trading to make this team better?
Honestly, because I saw that question out in social media, and I looked at it, and I think this is a team where you're not going to see many subtracted. You're going to see additions. So I think, you know, on the existing roster right now, you know, if they are able to trade for a big time defenseman, then one of the young forwards like Kapanen or Rjonsson, or if it's a bigger deal, Nylander, and I'm sure that'll explode Twitter because, oh, he's not being traded because Kyle Dubas said, or, you know, I'm sorry, he doesn't have a trade clause. That means he can be traded if it betters the team. But I think that it's going to be the additions rather than subtractions. And if they trade players or draft picks to get those additions, it's going to be guys who are playing with the Marlies or playing in junior or U.S. colleges. And I don't think it's going to affect the roster significantly this year.
This is the Leafs Convo, Norman James, along with Mike Augello. Please subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Subscribe wherever you listen. We appreciate your support. We're going to another level, folks, and we want you to come along with us. I have a Paul Marner story coming up towards the end of this episode, Mike. You know who Paul Marner is. You saw his takes with the Jonas Siegel article for, what's the name of the Athletic?
The Athletic.
Yeah. So you saw that. Paul Marner, not too happy with us at a time when he should have been really happy with everything going on in his son's hockey world, but I'll save that for later. I want to see this team upgrade, Mike, and I want to see this team do it at the most, you know, opportune, appropriate time, whenever that is. At some point, the Maple Leafs are going to be confronted with the need to make a trade to help this team level up. And our Leafs converts, TLC OGs, those who support the podcast by sharing their two cents, especially on the YouTube comment section, have all sorts of ideas, some more wild than others. Atari Leaf. Gardner, Zaitsev, and Hainsey for a fifth, then flip that fifth for a number one D-man.
Oh, boy. Well, okay.
So I asked them, I'm like, do you really want to trade half of your defense corps? I mean, think about Hainsey. Why do you want to trade Ron Hainsey? People get so upset with Ron Hainsey, and I think it's misplaced aggression, misplaced angst. Ron Hainsey's doing pretty well for a guy who shouldn't be having to do well. You know, well, he should be there in a support role.
I wrote about this in my blog on Sunday regarding the game, the loss, the overtime loss to Florida, and the reason that the Leafs were behind 2-0 going into the third period was because they're penalty killing. And you know, Ron Hainsey is playing first pairing minutes, so over 20 minutes, and he's playing still most of the penalty kill. Nikita Zaitsev is playing on the PK. And if you look at Nikita Zaitsev, when he came to the NHL, he was not, you know, a defensive defenseman, not a guy who was a shutdown guy. He was an offensive guy. He was a guy who was a point man on the power play in his first season with the Leafs. And he signs the big deal. And then all of a sudden he gets assigned to shutdown duty, shot block duty, penalty kill duty. He's playing a role that doesn't fit him. So all the criticism, I understand the criticism of Nikita Zaitsev. I understand and agree in part with some of the criticisms of Ron Hainsey. But Hainsey, I think, is a third pairing defenseman. And if he played that plus the penalty kill, I think he'd be much fresher and he'd be more effective. And the key to Zaitsev, because they have Gardner and Dermott and Riley, is forced into playing more of a defensive role. And he's just not a defensive defenseman, but he's blocked so many shots. And now it's like, you know, he's taken the wounds of what shot blocking defensemen take, which means they slow down a little bit. And I don't know whether he can be that offensive guy, but he's got another 5 years at $4.5 million. I don't think many teams are taking that off of your hands. So trading Hainsey, trading Zaitsev is not going to happen. And with Gardner, I'm more and more convinced with each day that Jake Gardner is going to be like JVR, like Bozak, an own rental who they keep and they let go.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense to trade that guy who has the playoff experience now going back to 2013. He could come in handy for you. And sure, he'd love to make amends for the collapse in Game 7. I know it wasn't just him, you Gardnerites, but I'm for Jake Gardner sticking around. I mean, some people want to see him shipped out, but where's he going to go? To the Western Conference, to a team that's contending as well? Because you're not going to trade him to a foe in the Eastern Conference, and a team that isn't going anywhere, unless they aspire to keep him and were able to somehow make that happen, isn't going to necessarily trade for him. So, yeah, he's kind of locked in, and I think that's a good thing. Caleb Markstrom does have Jake Gardner being traded, along with Nikita Zaitsev and Andreas Janssen, plus any pick, first, second, third, whatever. Make a package for either Parayko or Pietrangelo. Sounds like fun, Mike. I mean, I'd love to see one of those defensemen come back.
You can dream up a lot of scenarios, and I'm sure as we get closer to the deadline, I'll be doing the same thing on my column on Hockey Buzz. But the problem is that you're not trading, you know, two defensemen to get one. And more than likely, a team like St. Louis, who's probably going through a rebuild, is looking for young and inexpensive players to acquire for the guys who, you know, are locked up on long-term deals like Parayko, or somebody who's making $6.5 million and is one of the better defensemen in the NHL like Alex Pietrangelo. So you're not talking about Zaitsev. You're not talking about – and I know that Nick Kiprios reported that Zaitsev would be included. I don't think St. Louis would take Nikita Zaitsev in a deal for either one of those guys, unless they absolutely were forced to do so, and they're not going to be forced into anything. They're going to be asking for Timothy Liljegren. They're going to be asking for Travis Dermott. They're going to be asking maybe for Rasmus Sandin, for young defensemen who are inexpensive to be put into these deals. And that's the battle that Kyle Dubas is going to have to face. Now, Dubas held a presser today, and he said, "We have some other matters we have to tend to." This is in regards to Jake Gardner and his impending UFA status. And that's been communicated to Jake as well. We continue to stay in contact with and work with him. We would like him to be here, but it's not as simple as it sounds. Sure. Now, if that's the case, you know, that's all that's saying is, Jake, we'd like to have you. We'd like to have you at a certain price. But if you're expecting to get top dollar, have a nice flight. And that's what I'm saying. I think they'd like to keep him. I don't think he's going to take a $1 to $2 million discount to stay in Toronto. So that's why, you know, scenarios of trading him and getting a package and flipping that to some other team to get a defenseman, they make sense in fantasy land, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I think Jake Gardner, you're riding with him all the way to the end, and he either wins a cup with the Leafs or he doesn't. And I'd love to see him win a cup with the Leafs. Any notion that is resonating from the messages Kyle Dubas is sending out right now that suggests Gardner is a potential target to be retained by the Maple Leafs is one that is being taken out of context and exacerbated by the analytics birds on social media. Jake Gardner has no reason to be in Toronto beyond however long this season lasts. There's no reason for him to be here because the Leafs have more of those guys coming up through the pipeline. So that's it. And I know there are people who just love Jake Gardner, but there are other ones coming up, guys.
The interesting comment that Dubas made today regarding Timothy Liljegren, I think, goes to that point. I mean, he essentially said that. Now, Liljegren had a high ankle sprain earlier this month. He's probably going to miss the World Junior. He was probably etched in stone for Team Sweden, but now with this injury, he's probably not going to be able to play. And the plan was, they said, if it wasn't for this high ankle sprain, the plan was to possibly, you know, play at some point this year in the NHL. Now with him probably being out for, you know, usually a high ankle sprain is 5-6 weeks or something like that, that the timetable may be changed because they expected him to be playing at a high level, playing in the AHL every game and then going to the World Junior and then being able to step into the lineup like Dermott did in January of last year. And now that's off the table. Now, to my mind, that means that makes them even more in terms of shopping for defensemen at the deadline, because now they have to, you know, you're not going to put Liljegren into the NHL with a month's work up to the playoffs. That's possibly a recipe for disaster. So, you know, you keep looking at it and you keep saying to yourself, they need one and possibly two defensemen. And we're not talking about depth guys. We're talking about one, at least that's a top four, and another one who's got some experience and a little bit of sandpaper.
Michael Pagano, in order, Leafs with trade value, I'd be willing to move if the right trade is made and available to us. Zaitsev 1, Johnsson 2, Brown 3, Gardner 4, Bracco 5, 6, any draft pick.
Clearly the plan of Kyle Dubas is to stockpile young defensemen who, you know, on entry-level deals will help, allay the cost of, you know, re-signing Matthews on a $12 or $13 million deal, and Marner for whatever he gets, when he'll deserve whatever he gets. But if they get themselves a Parayko who has like another 3 years on his contract, or they get somebody who's tied up long term that gives them cost certainty, then they might be willing to throw a young defenseman into those deals. But more than likely, they're going to trade from a position of strength. And I have to tell you, I got into some people lost their minds on the weekend when I tweeted out, you know, Jeremy Bracco had a great game on Friday night in Winnipeg against the Manitoba Moose, 2 goals, 2 assists. He's the second leading scorer on the Marlies. He's got over 20 points. I've seen him play for Team USA in the World Junior. I've seen him a few games when he was with Kitchener and Windsor, winning a Memorial Cup. I've seen him play with the Marlies. I think he's an elite playmaker. I think the reason that they have kept him down there is because they're stacked on the right wing at the NHL roster, and they want him to get stronger and a little bit more aware defensively. And I said next summer, the key word that most people missed was if the Leafs trade William Nylander, that they have an elite playmaker waiting in the wings. And I had half the people saying, how is he elite?
If he's playing American
League? Right. It's
Mike,
because,
sorry to interrupt you. The same people who bully you for suggesting Nylander's potentially trade bait are the ones who rally around someone else who's been ridiculed and start accusing others of bullying and being mean. They're hypocrites. This idea that William Nylander is this exalted figure who, you know, he's holier than thou, and you can't even mention him in any sort of discussion that might seem critical, is ridiculous. And it's, you're just suggesting that this is an asset that can be parlayed for something that the Leafs actually need.
Yeah, the only point I was trying to make, and of course I got lost in the responses, is that, you know, it's very possible that they keep William Nylander, but if they have to trade him because of the cap hit, because of the fact that they have to sign Marner and Matthews, and, you know, Kyle Dubas said today that, you know, they've planned for the eventuality of the offer sheet for both players, and they have the ability to match both of them, and he hasn't spent any time worrying about that. That's because he has assets that he can move out if he has to, and he might have to if Marner asks for $10 million or more, or if Matthews expects to make more than Connor McDavid. That's the thing. There's no trade protection. He has this $8.3 million bonus that's payable on July 1st. And if he has to move him, he will get value for him. And he has players that can replace him. I'm not saying Jeremy Bracco is as good as William Nylander, but he is a great playmaker. He still needs work, but I think he fits in the plans of the Maple Leafs if they have to trade Nylander, or he fits in the plans if they have to trade a forward to get a defenseman at the deadline. So, sorry, folks. Jeremy Bracco is a quality player, and if you're telling me he's not an elite playmaker, you don't know anything about hockey.
Well, again, this is not about seeing a player, Mike. What's the data collected say? Because that's essentially what it is. This is a video game to a lot of these guys. So the best trade idea that I have on the YouTube channel, my buddy Fash Out, given Tom Dundon wanting offense and not caring about defensive defensemen, right now you could get Slavin plus Pesci for Marner and Zaitsev. You solve your cap issues, solve your blue line in one deal. Yeah. But is Marner bigger than the Maple Leafs, though? I know optically this isn't something that a lot of people would want to go for. If Kyle Dubas said, F it, I don't care, is this something you could do?
I won't address the trade for that Fash Out put out there, but I'll address the Marner scenario. Mitch Marner will never be traded by this team, at least I would say in the next 7 or 8 years. He is extremely important to them, and he's established himself. If you're asking me, and I know that there's been a lot of people who say, well, William Nylander is as good as Mitch Marner, or, you know, who, to me, it's completely clear. And this is not taking into consideration what Nylander has done in the 5 games since he's come back, since, you know, he's rusty. It's going to take him a little time to get back into the swing of things. I will fully acknowledge that. Mitch Marner is, right now, has been at a high level for almost a calendar year, from December of last year to now. He's been, I would say, one of the maybe top 5 wingers in the NHL, and everybody is saying that. So he's going to get his money. He's a very popular player. He's from the Toronto area. They, you know, fans love him. They know that he is a centerpiece player along with Tavares and Matthews. I don't care what's, I don't care if he's being traded for, you know, the second coming of Gretzky. He's not getting traded by this team. It's not happening.
Can we trade Paul Marner, though, Mike? Is that possible? Okay, so here's the story about Paul Marner. I had him on the convo back in 2016. I was working in television at the time, and after I'd get off the air, I'd go and do my podcast. A lot of people would know us from back in those days. Paul was the proud father of a NHL rookie at this time, and obviously Mitch Marner was kind of quieted by the Austin Matthews show, but Mitch was contributing. And, you know, I set the table for Paul. Hey, this is great to see. We all knew he was going to be doing, be an NHLer at some point, and it's been a lot of fun. And let me qualify this. There was no bigger Mitch Marner booster than me and Brent Lale and you yourself, Mike. We were just realistic about, we believe that there might be not a hiccup in his development as an NHLer, or him eventually crossing the threshold. However, we felt that maybe he would need another a year somewhere other than a rookie season right off the bat in the NHL. So Paul Marner, we're talking about all these sweet nothings, turns around and says, well, yeah, there were a lot of detractors like you. When push comes to shove, you weren't there for Mitch. And you didn't, you weren't one of the people who should have been out there saying that Mitch was going to make the NHL right out of the gate. It was such a petty thing for Paul Marner to bring up at a time when we were celebrating the kid. But, and it had no reason to be, I had no reason to be confronted with this because, again, if you are from the London area, you know how much Mitch Marner coverage we did. Nobody was covered locally like Mitch Marner was. Maybe when Tavares joined the team for a cup of coffee in 09, or Nazem Kadri was on a lot because he spoke a lot, but Mitch got coverage out the wazoo, and because he was amazing. He was the CHL Player of the Year in 2015-16. I had him on the show to our Paul Marner to talk about Mitch and how things were going. And he throws this at me, saying and confronting me and basically accusing me of not supporting Mitch Marner to the fullest degree that I should have. And what he was upset with is that you and I, Mike, on many shows, thought that maybe Mitch was not physically ready to jump into the NHL right out of the gate. That's it. I was the guy saying that he had hands like Gretzky. He was the most natural player in the game and would eventually be a guy who would make plays that nobody's seen before. And I was right. Look at this. The only thing we suggested is that he might not get into the NHL right away, considering there were a lot of rookies and considering his physical stature, to them, that was, I mean, that was a line that we crossed that they couldn't reconcile. That was it. And I was confronted with this, and the interview turned kind of sour and terse after that. And it was such a petty thing to bring up. And I even said to him, I said, this is kind of a disagreement in amongst family, because we had known this guy for a long time. Mitch Marner was, we worshiped the guy, and we hope that we're wrong. But to them, that was enough. And they were upset and pissed off. He sent a blogger, a podcast guy, who, good for him, got a place at the Marner dinner table after me to rip me a new one, who was supposed to be a good friend of mine. He did this in public because I didn't show loyalty to the Marner family. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. And then reading all this stuff that Paul Marner is going on about his kid and not being considered for the captaincy with this Athletic article brought it all back for me. The dad, he's got to calm down and he's got to keep his mouth shut, because the problem here is he's creating a negative vibe around Mitch Marner.
I have to say that, you know, one of the concerns I had about Mitch Marner going into his career with the Leafs was the influence of his dad, and it hasn't really been apparent. And I mean, in all the time that I've been around the Leafs, I very rarely heard his name mentioned. And that's a good thing, because we, you know, you see the Lonzo Ball type of thing going on in the NBA, and you know how destructive parents can be when they try to meddle.
Yeah, LaVar Ball.
LaVar Ball, and Lonzo is the son. But so, I mean, you know, this article brought forth a few things, and you know, the only thing I can say, and I'm not trying to defend myself, but I will stick by my concerns. My job as a reporter is to be a skeptic, is to look at things and say, okay, well, this is a concern. And then at that point, remember, this is before the Leafs won the lottery and they had were having the possibility of getting Austin Matthews. There was a lot of consideration about Mitch Marner being a center at the NHL level because of his great playmaking ability. And he's 6 foot and 165, 170 pounds. You know, that's not the prototypical number one center. He's got the vision. He's got all the playmaking ability. He's got all the tools, but it's the physicality. And what people were saying, okay, well, William Nylander could be a center. He's played center before. Mitch Marner played center in junior, but the last year of junior, when he was CHL player of the year, he played on the right wing with there was Christian Dvorak and Matthew Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the concern was, could he be strong enough? Could he be physically durable enough to play center at the NHL? Yeah. When he comes in the next year and Matthews is the number one draft pick, there wasn't even a consideration of putting him up the middle. He was going to play the wing, and he's got that innate ability to avoid physical confrontation. He doesn't take many hits. So we were being skeptics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can understand the mentality of the hockey parent. Their kid is, you know, that they, you know, they will defend them to the hilt. I get that. So I will excuse.
It's convenient, though, Mike. It's right, convenient to go negative. Clearly, what we believed was a common concern. I don't know why that was the souring of a relationship. Let's qualify this. We have no ill will for Paul Marner or towards him. I'd hope that maybe he can stay somewhat quiet. The difference between him and Michael Nylander is Michael Nylander's thousands of miles away. Paul Marner's right around here.
And Michael Nylander Paul Marner doesn't represent his son in terms of being a part of the agency.
The bad PR that Paul Marner is collecting right now, it'll engulf his son. And I'm concerned about that. And it's not fair, because Mitch Marner's the most naturally gifted player in the game right now. One of them, just young kids, small, whatever, it doesn't matter. Grab a stick, go, collect points, make people better. That's what Mitch Marner is. He's just a fun hockey player. It's what hockey's supposed to be. His dad has done a great service to his son, the family, the mother, the whole thing. You know what? Mitch is an adult now. He's a professional. He's represented by professionals. It's okay to say some stuff, but don't make this more difficult for your son than it has to be. It really should be a great time, an amazing time. Don't turn your son into enemy number one because of the things that you are saying. Mike, final word to you.
Well, after they play New Jersey on Tuesday, they finish out the month of December with four of the next five at home. They had one of the best records in the NHL on the road until this recent road trip, and they've gone 1-2-1 on that on the road swing. And so New Jersey is one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference, but so was Florida, and they sort of played down to their competition until they woke up in the third period. And that's the concern I have about this team, is immensely talented, but they seem to sleepwalk through period after period and then say, okay, we're down 2-0 or we're down 4-1. Let's turn it on. Well, you need more consistent effort to be able to win these games. You can't win them by playing 20 minutes. So I think that's something that Mike Babcock is going to have to work on. And, you know, it's going to be something that will have to be addressed, because the team needs to be better. And Kyle Dubas looks like he will be on the lookout for some players that will help improve them before February 25th.
Can we all just get along, Mike? Will we ever all just get along?
Of course not.
You're so right. Michael, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, Norman.
That's a wrap for this episode of the podcast. What'd you think? At Norman James, TLC, at Mike in Buffalo, the ways to holler at us on Twitter, or you can crack back at us through the YouTube comment section. Go ahead and do it. I don't care what it is. Just let us know and keep coming back. Support the Leafs Combo on YouTube. Subscribe right now. It would mean the world to us. Maybe you want to get even closer to us by sponsoring the podcast. Don't be shy. The Leafs Combo at gmail.com is the way you can reach me directly. Let's talk. We may have something for you, and you may have something for us. We could work together and really take this thing to the next level. The same way we all expect the Maple Leafs to go to the next level, using our ideas, comments, and concerns as the foundation for doing it. For Mike Augello, I'm Norman James. We'll talk to you soon. The Leafs Convo is outie.